Well, today's COAG meeting will be Scott Morrison's first as Prime Minister, but in problems much closer to home for the PM, the Coalition is facing more internal upheaval after a plot was uncovered to lure Liberal MP Craig Kelly to the National Party. Peter Van Onselen is the Ten Network's new political editor, contributing editor with The Australian, also Professor of Politics at Griffith University and the Uni of WA. Peter, I feel like you need a Christmas break already, all those jobs.
Good morning, Hamish. Thanks for having me.
You broke this story last night. Barnaby Joyce orchestrated a plot to throw Craig Kelly a political lifeline if he lost Liberal Party pre-selection for his Sydney seat of Hughes. It obviously didn't ultimately happen. Mm. But why does it matter, though, still?
Well, it matters just because it speaks, I guess, to some of the divisions internally. I can tell you, for example, after we aired that on 10 last night, I had Liberal MPs, including ministers, texting me wondering what is Barnaby thinking or what was Craig Kelly doing entertaining it. Now, in fairness, it never happened. And in fairness to Barnaby Joyce, and he made this clear when we interviewed him yesterday, his first preference was for Craig Kelly to become a Liberal again. But it's the willingness that if he was not selected by the Liberal Party, that a former Nationals leader would then not want to lose him and try to get him to defect to the Nationals. Now, the Liberals have done this in reverse, of course. Julian McGorran years ago swung across as a senator from Victoria, but it does speak to the fact that there's an increasing amount of meddling between the two sides of politics within the parties, and that the factional issues that are going on within the New South Wales Liberal Party, for example, are something that are causing problems that are ongoing for the Prime Minister. He would have hoped all of this was behind them, but in fact, we know that there was a bit more at play. What we don't know is whether Scott Morrison actually knew about this or not at the time that Barnaby Joyce was trying to recruit Craig Kelly.
And what does it say about the Nationals that it was Barnaby Joyce doing this without, as we understand it, the knowledge of the Nationals leader, Michael McCormack?
Well, that speaks, I think, to the fact that there is a bit of a disconnect between those two. My understanding was that Barnaby Joyce was asked by Craig Kelly not to tell Michael McCormack, but I would also make an assumption that he wasn't interested in going in that direction and talking to Michael McCormack at that point, because those two aren't especially close. They will be leadership rivals in the aftermath of a defeat, if indeed there is a defeat at the May election.
All right. Over in Adelaide today, state and territory leaders will be discussing population policy with the PM. We just spoke to Alan Tudge then. Only one Premier, and that's Gladys Berejiklian of New South Wales, supports a cut in migration numbers to give Sydney a so-called breather. What do you think is going to be the outcome here? Because ultimately, this seems to be a stoush about infrastructure spending when you scratch beneath the surface.
Look, I think it is, but I certainly think that this was something that ahead of the Victorian election was very much in the mix, because it was something that was being discussed down there. But it is as big, if not perhaps even a bigger issue in New South Wales, as you say, Hamish, with the Premier in New South Wales interested in being quite clear around the issues around population. It is a linked issue between state and federal governments, because obviously the federal government dictates population numbers. State governments do a lot of the infrastructure decision making, even if they have to put their hand out for money to Canberra. So this is all about state cooperation, but it's hard to see genuine state cooperation being on the table, at least in the short term, because there are so many elections going on, including obviously New South Wales and then the federal one coming up as well.
As you say, we're sort of at that point in the electoral cycle where everything seems to be viewed through the prism of the looming election. The Prime Minister, as we understand it, is going to take an extra $1.25 billion in health funding to this COAG meeting. It'll be for a range of different services. But will it be enough to sort of scuttle Labor's potent claims that the government is cutting health spending?
Well, not in the sense that Labor are prepared to go down that path, even when I would argue it's disingenuous. I mean, I thought at the last election, the whole privatised Medicare argument was a complete overreach, in the sense that, yes, they had arguments about funding cuts in terms of cuts to the size of the increase in funding for health spending, but to then take that extra bridge too far and talk about the idea of privatising Medicare, I thought was always a little bit over the top, to say the least. So Labor is prepared to do that no matter how much money, I think, the federal Liberals and Nationals throw into the health spending mix. This just comes back to community perceptions, doesn't it? You know, Labor can do as good or a bad a job managing the economy as it likes, but the perception is that the better economic managers are the Conservatives. Equally, someone like Scott Morrison can throw bags of money into health spending, which is often in vital areas, but health and education are seen as Labor strong suits. All the PM wants to do here is try to neutralise the issue and then get back to the economy. That will be his goal.
Peter Van Onselen, thank you very much, and congratulations on the new job.
Thanks for that. Good to chat.
Peter Van Onselen, 10 Networks political editor, professor of politics at Griffith University and the University of WA.